Hey, y'all. This is Roannon from the persistent world, Realms of Anacolia, and you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast. Great show, guys. Talk to you later.
Someone give me a tankard. This is going to get good.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Dave, a.k.a. Eat the Surf.
And I'm Skunk, a.k.a. the Skunk Squatch Hunter. And you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Tonight we have an interview with Tony, a.k.a. Endarion. Say, Skunk, why don't you tell our listeners where we are?
We're in the woolly swamp, deep within the booger woods. I got something here right now. It's hairy. There's definitely a bad odor. This could be it.
Is it alive?
It doesn't appear to be moving.
What?
Oh, crikey. Look at that snapper. Isn't that a beaut? Huh.
Poke it with a stick.
Oh, okay. You pick one up off the ground here and... get...
And now, the news.
Yeah, the news. Dave, you remember when we were chatting about our hopes that somebody would release a Neverwinter Nights 2 lip sync utility?
Yes, I do.
Adam Miller just recently did so, thanks to Domi Soto being persistent in the Neverwinter Nights 2 community with voice actors. He released one.
Sweet.
Yes. I haven't tried it yet. I hope to. I plan to right after probably maybe NeverwinterCon 4 finishes up. I have lots of time to play with it.
So speaking about NWCon 4, did you see that new community there, NeverwinterCampaigns.com?
Oh, yes. I already signed up on it. It's a website created to house a central listing of available multiplayer campaigns for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2. The goal is to provide players with a quick reference of available campaigns, you know, not like mostly like the, I guess PWs could hook up on there too, but it pretty
right,
much...
but it's mostly for like long-term...
Yeah, it pretty much makes it easier for players to find DMs that are running campaigns. Previously, finding a campaign required a player to shift through forum posts and game listings, hoping to find a campaign that matched the player's interests and schedules. Oh, this site's intended to make it a little bit more easier.
Okay, so it's not really competing with Neverwinter Connections. It's just kind of cool.
No, I mean, like, it pretty much offers a forum to campaign dungeon masters where, you know, like, for an example, like the BioWare forums, you can get those for free, but, you know, if you're a campaign dungeon master and your group is pretty steady and tight and you meet in game all the time, you don't need to do forum posts as much, you know? And
right.
After like a certain amount of time with the BioWare forums...
Right, it'll cycle off.
Yeah, but they close it out if you don't have any activity on there.
Right.
After like a month or 30 days or 60 days. So, you know, Neverwinter campaigns, they pretty much keep it up for you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of campaigns, I got to drop in on Striker B's game last week. That's right. You were going to be there, and things came up.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a blast. He did a really good job. It was a good group we were with. all around good experience. Fun world. It's good.
I really hope he schedules another game session for us with him as a dungeon master. I deeply regret not making it to the last one.
Yeah, but it was, like I say, it was cool. I didn't sign up through Connections because I was late, and which was, I don't know, I would have liked to. I like to actually go through that whole thing and do the whole review stuff, but
see,
so I didn't get to rate him as a DM, but he was really good. So
that's where I made a mistake. I signed up through the Connections, and everybody else knew that you didn't have to, but me. So I was like, oh man, this is sad. We needed to advertise the game a little bit more. Well, yeah. Come to find out, he had like a whole mob of people on there with you.
No, it wasn't a mob, but actually, when I got there, a couple of people had gotten in time to sign up through Connections, but and actually, that might have been when they were having some issues as well. So,
yeah. Well, it might be no secret to some that Neverwinter Connections has been having some website troubles, but the Neverwinter Con 4 will continue on there nevertheless. All seems to be well and working fine there at the website.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Also, folks, if you have a talent or something new to showcase at NWN Con, feel free to let folks know within the general forum of the NeverwinterConnections.com, please.
Yeah, that's cool. It's going to be a really cool event, and the more people that help out, the cooler it'll be. Mm-hmm. And it's like anything. I mean, they don't just need, like, I don't think they need DMs at this point, do they?
More DMs are
always good.
Yeah. Well, they get more custom content creators and more Neverwinter Nights 2 events going on.
Well, and they even have, like, well, it's a whole convention, little roundtable-type IRC chats, don't they?
Yeah, there's quite a few going on. This is going to be for September coming up, so check out www.nwcon.
How about we put it in the show notes?
Yeah. Good notes, folks.
Well, actually, that's September. My God, that's coming pretty quick. Did you see in October, the Bouncy Rock has a haunted house type thing coming, a haunted city, basically, for NWN2. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Signed up for it already. You missed that.
Oh, that'd be totally cool. Busy times over at Bouncy Rock. Johnny also just put out the Yanti Pure Blood, and
yeah, she's a hot mama. I don't have much of a, I'm not much of a foot connoisseur, but you know, she's got it going on.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Someone took a screenshot of the Yanti with the drider and gave the drider some flowers, and they had a caption contest for it.
You'd make the drider say one thing and the Yanti say something else.
You could, yeah. They had balloon bubbles for the, you know, cartoon balloons for that. Although my entries didn't use the balloons, so they had said that it was optional. But anyway, I think the voting is happening this week. It's going to be community voting. So busy times over there.
We got some news from Gen Con about Storms Is Here, thanks to some people in the community. And we have some pictures, too. But we're going to hold off on that, because we have something even bigger right now.
What could possibly be bigger than that?
We have a cool guest coming back to our show again. This is Trey with Andarian.
Okay, hello everyone out there. We welcome Andarian, a.k.a. Tony Donadio, back to the show. Andarian is a very popular community member, best known in the Neverwinter Nights community as the author of the Sanctum of the Archmage module series, the first two chapters of which are in the NWN1 Hall of Fame. He is currently vice chairman of the Academy for Modding Excellence, and now is the 2007 Golden Dragon Award winner for best role-playing module for Sanctum of the Archmage 2, The Miracle Worker. A finalist last year with the Sanctum of the Archmage 1, Andarian this year collects the Best Role-Playing Module Award for Sanctum of the Archmage 2. The series continues a beautifully crafted story brought to life with strong dialogue and scripting. Welcome back, Tony.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you on the show again. So why don't you start out and tell us a little bit about what you've been up to since you were last on the show?
I guess there's two ways to answer that. There's since last time I was on the show, I guess a couple of months ago, it's fairly recent, but since the last time I was on last year talking about my mod work, I've released Sanctum of the Archmage 2, The Miracle Worker. Actually, the title is Sanctum of the Archmage 2, The Miracle Worker Act 1, because there are going to be one or two more acts in the next part of the saga.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a long title, so Act 1 at the end sort of gets cut off a lot. but the next one will be Sanctum of the Archmage 3, The Miracle Worker Act 2. So awesome. I just sort of wanted to get that out there. I was very gratified to find out that it won the Bronze Award for Module of the Year and the AME Golden Dragon Award for Best RPG. Earlier this year, I also released a major rewrite and overhaul to the first two chapters, especially to Chapter 1, where I went in and I redesigned the number of the areas and added a lot of new content. And then also, of course, has been my work for the AME. In my spare time, I try to work a full-time job and work on a graduate degree.
You're a busy boy.
Yeah.
So how did it make you feel when you won the 2007 Dragon Award for Miracle Worker?
It felt wonderful, of course. I was very gratified that the members of the Academy thought that it was a strong enough work as a role-playing module to not only to be nominated, but to receive the award. So I was very, very happy about that.
You're also the vice chairman of the Academy for Modding Excellence. So what all does that involve? Does that mean you have to bring Ben his shoes?
No, actually, it really involves pretty much doing whatever is needed to move the awards process forward. The vice chairman's main responsibility is to help the chairman, to assist him in doing the things that he needs to do and to sort of back him up when is necessary. You know, there were a couple of cases where Ben was on travel and I took care of some things while he was out. And also in cases where, if ever a conflict of interest arises, the chairman and vice chairman back each other up for that. Also, the vice chairman's main responsibility is to serve as to assist the chairman in managing or championing the award categories that don't have a specific member volunteer. We have a sort of approach where each award category, we basically ask the membership, is there anyone here who feels that they want to sort of be the champion for this category? And their job in doing that is to shepherd along the awards. Some people take that very seriously and do a huge amount of research, making up lists of possible candidates for people to check out and things like that. And Ben and I basically cover the whatever categories nobody has volunteered for. So that's mostly what it involves. And then just, like I said, doing whatever is needed to keep things moving.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
It is.
Hey, I think I've read or maybe I heard you say that you're flip-flopping on the decision to switch to NWN2 or keep developing in NWN1. Any progress on that decision?
I guess flip-flopping is probably a fair way to put it. Given it's a little humbling because I had to basically change my mind twice on that. And I mean, there's no way to just say that. Okay, you know, I just have to say that I changed my mind and circumstances have changed about that. But basically, what I did was I twice tried to decide to switch to Neverwinter Nights 2. And both times I had to reconsider that decision and say, no, I'm going to have to do the next chapter in NWN1. So my current plan is, to finish the current part of the saga in Neverwinter Nights 1. That's basically the part. Sanctum of Saga is going to be in three parts. The first part was the first chapter, The Site. Second part is The Miracle Worker. And the third part's title is going to be The Alliance. And part one had one chapter. Part two is going to have 2 to 3 chapters. And part three will have 2 chapters. And then the idea behind all that was that the saga was going to lead up to the point where the beginning of the first novel would pick up from the end of where the final chapter ended, and carry this, you know, the story forward from there. But basically what I've decided to do now is I'm currently working on finishing chapter 3, and if there's a depending on how long chapter 3 turns out to be, it'll either finish part 2 or there'll be one more chapter to, you know, to finish part 2. But part 2 will be in Neverwinter Nights 1. And that was the decision I made about that.
Okay, so you were thinking about doing chapter 3 in NWN 2 at first.
Yeah.
And then decided.
That's right. That's right. In fact, I had actually decided, I had been thinking about doing chapter 2 in Neverwinter Nights 2.
Oh,
and that
okay.
was a decision that I announced like at the end of 2006. And sometime during 2007, I basically reevaluated that decision. At the time, that the reasons for the decisions are a little bit different in both cases. The first time, I just took a sober look at the state of Neverwinter Nights 2, and I decided that I just didn't think it was mature enough as modding environment to start building the saga in. I had a lot of very specific requirements for custom content, and I also had concerns about things that I had heard about the toolset not being stable and so on. So I basically said, okay, I'll do chapter 2 in Neverwinter Nights 1, and then I'll revisit this decision later.
Okay.
My current decision is really more based on realizing that I think Neverwinter Nights 2 is now a good modding environment. Each Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 both have strengths and weaknesses, and Neverwinter Nights 1 is very much stronger, for example, in custom content. Neverwinter Nights 2 has other strengths. But the real reason for the decision that to finish the current part of the saga in Neverwinter Nights 1 has a lot to do with just time, because I can build a lot faster in Neverwinter Nights 1.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to switch to Neverwinter Nights 2 now, it would even much further delay getting out the next chapter in the saga, and I really didn't want to do that.
Right. And of course, NWN 2 is a little bit younger, so like you said, there's not as much content out there yet available. But that'll change.
Right, and there's more time.
Has the 1.69 final release of NWN1 influenced you in any way?
Oh yeah, very definitely. For a number of reasons. excuse me. One of them is the new content that's available for 1.69. But a lot of it is based on new content that people are building that uses 1.69. So there's been a fair flurry of new releases of custom content for Neverwinter Nights 1 that makes use of the new patch that really wasn't ready to go out before the patch was available.
Right.
And there's a lot of that is just stuff that will be really, really interesting to build with. I had created a post on my blog talking about some of those things, but just to give a couple of examples, there's the Lord of Worms seasonal forest tile set, which actually won the Neverwinter Nights 1 AME Golden Dragon Award for best tile set for 2007. In spite of the fact that he still describes it as being in beta, we just thought it was so good that it was worth getting the award anyway. And if you look at the images from that tile set, it is absolutely gorgeous, and I'm just sort of almost salivating at the idea of building with that. Mm-hmm. Other things like Hardpoints is working on a rideable Pegasus model, which would work perfectly exactly in a part of the story. That a rideable Pegasus was the one thing that, if I had a wish list, what I really wanted is in terms of custom content for the saga, because it fits right in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's in progress.
I remember you commenting about that after we interviewed the CEP team about the Pegasus.
Yes, yes, it's something I'm very excited about. They have the new model in now, but it's not something that you can actually mount and ride on.
Oh,
and,
right.
And being able to combine those two would be just, as I said, absolutely perfect. There's also romantic animations that Ninja Weasel Man is working on. Really, really good quality animations for things like kissing and hugging and things like that, which is a much more general-purpose version of the It's not as it's not anywhere nearly as graphic as the one that he won the award for this year.
Oh, okay.
And you know, things like that.
Cool. So with everything that you have going on, how do you stay on top of your module development?
It's very hard, and I don't entirely stay on top of it. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a little. That was one of the reasons for my decision to want to continue building a Neverwinter Nights 1 right now. It's been hard to find the time, and I haven't really had the time to start working in earnest on Chapter 3 yet. I've done a lot of rework on Chapters 1 and 2, as I had said before, to try to make it even better. You know, you keep coming up with ideas about, gee, you know, I could have used this tile set there, or what if I had done this differently?
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep going back and fiddling with the first two chapters. But what I really want to do is get the time for to work in earnest on the last one. What I'm trying to do right now is basically finish off projects that I've started and get them out of the way so that I can free up the time for that. And that's turning out to be a little harder than I had hoped. The worst part of that, worst example of that, or the most frustrating example of that was I thought that I was going to be finishing my I'm working on a graduate degree in physics, which I thought that I was going to be finishing in May. And as I was filling out the forms to graduate, my advisor and I discovered that there was one more requirement that we had forgotten about.
Oh no!
And so I'm actually in the process now of trying to finish that up, which I had thought was going to be finished. So there's another thing that's taking focus away from some of my other work.
Oh wow! So you mentioned earlier your romance plots, which your Sanctum series are noted for. So what is it like developing romance plots into a module?
It's something that I'm actually I'm very interested in, and to be perfectly honest, I think that it's probably my favorite part of writing the saga. I've always enjoyed playing modules that had a romance in as part of the story, in options for romance as part of the story. Part of that comes from the fact that being a storyteller, romance plots are very common, and I think kind of sort of naturally common in storytelling in general. And it seemed to me that it just makes sense that also be part of a good storytelling experience, especially an epic storytelling experience in something like Neverwinter Nights. What I'm really trying to do is trying to tell an epic story. Plus the story that I had been the novel idea that I was trying to transcribe into a module had a very prominent love story as part of the plot. So I made it a decision very early on that I wanted to feature a very complex romance plot in Sanctum of the Archmage. And it started off slowly because I didn't want it to jump in. A lot of people have complained about the inauthenticity of a lot of RPG romances, that, you know, you have a few conversations with somebody and suddenly they tell you that they love you and it doesn't seem realistic. And I agree with that. So I wanted it to develop in a very authentic and real, and the romance is to develop in a very authentic way. And I spent a lot of time working very carefully on making a very, very complex romance plot, having it balanced so that it's available for different types of players.
Well, a lot of teasing and chasing.
A lot of teasing and chasing. Well, a good amount of that, yeah. Actually, the module has two basic types of romances. One is with the main character, whose name is Robin. And as a result of some feedback that I had from one of my early players in Neverwinter in the first chapter, I experimented with the idea of making Robin's character available both as a male or as a female character so that the romance would be available to anyone who wanted to play it.
Right.
And I got really, really good feedback from that.
Awesome.
I had so many people who were interested in playing that plot both and on both versions of it that it encouraged me to keep doing that with the rest of the saga. And then there are two other characters who are much less teasing, shall we say, than the romance with Robin is. That's one of them is the romance with Robin is intended to be a very, very difficult, hard romance that you have to work very hard for, while the others are for people who prefer not to be as frustrated.
Oh,
I'll put it that way.
Plus, I think romance plots probably help round out a module bringing in more players than you probably would if it was just a hack and slash or intrigue or action module, right?
I think so. I try to appeal to all different types of players, even though I'm the saga is not designed for hack and slash play,
right.
But it has challenging combat. So people who like hack and slash play, you know, do tend to like it.
Yeah, I meant combat kind of stuff is whatever. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, they're actually I think that they're two different things.
Okay.
There's a style of play where you just throw lots of monsters out and you let people fight constantly, and that's hack and slash play in my view. And the Sanctum Saga is designed not to do that. It's designed to put out very challenging combats, but that are very calculated, not to be so that the idea is not that you're fighting all the time, but when you do fight, it really means something.
I see.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And and of course to appeal to people who like to role play and people who like story, and to people who like romances. So I try to appeal to pretty much the full gamut of different types of players.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So do you use a lot of custom content in your modules?
I do. And that's something I've gotten some comments on. It's sort of the Sanctum has sort of been noted for the fact that the custom content downloads are much larger than the actual module download itself. But the what I'm really trying to accomplish with the very heavy use of custom content is I use a lot of the community packs, the community skybox pack, the community tile set pack, the community music pack, and the community expansion pack. Are all used by Sanctum 2. And what I'm really trying to go for there is that I think that good modding, I mean good storytelling in general, but this certainly applies to modding as well, is it's really the devil's in the details. What you want to do is create a lot of evocative details that all work together to create a mood or a feel or an experience. And that's what makes a really effective either story or module experience. You know, that attention to details and making them all work together. And so, for example, when I have a story idea for a particular scene, I'll look at a lot of different available tile sets for that. Try to pick one that really works well with the mood of the scene, and then I'll spend a lot of time going through with the available music that I have. Trying to pick something out that'll help reinforce the mood that I'm trying to set with the scene. Looking for particular models, I'll hunt through the menus for particular placeables that will help set the mood even more. That sort of thing. And I think that having that focus on combining a lot of evocative details helps create a sense of drama and a sense of immersion. So that's why custom content is such a big important focus for me.
So how does the custom content play into like when you're developing the romance plots?
Well, for example, it plays into the music in the particular scenes where people may be having a romance dialogue, and I'll look for appropriate music rather than just have the generic music for the background of the area playing.
Uh-huh.
The module will switch music tracks to something that's more appropriate for that dialogue. So that's an example of that. Things like there's custom content both in terms of downloading things that other people have built and also trying to design things of your own. I spend a lot of time actually designing the armor and the outfits for the different characters just the right look and you know that gives me a feel for the personality that I'm trying to depict, and just the environment that everything takes place in. I can give one example from near the end of Sanctum of the Archmage 2, where there's actually a whole scene where you're trapped by a storm and you have to wait the storm out, and there's a whole series of dialogues and conversations, some of them romance-based, that you can have with your companions at the time. And I spent a lot of time thinking about how to construct the area to make that the whole thing effective. The skybox pack allowed me to use a particular skybox that really captured the mood of the storm, a very threatening, stormy look. Elements in the tool set that I was able to pick out to construct the opening of the cave. Also the things like the space tile set that by Ninja Weasel Man that I actually used to create it's a very interesting tile set that's basically blank, and if you use it with the right skybox, it just looks like you're sort of floating over the clouds. So in combination with the flying phenotype that's available in the community expansion pack, what I was able to do is actually create windwalking scenes where what the players are doing is not just traveling over land, but they're basically flying to another area where they're trying where the adventure will be continuing. Right. And then the traveling there is rather than just walking over land, what you're actually doing is flying over the clouds. You're encountering flying monsters sometimes, and things like that.
Interesting.
So that's an example of the kind of way that I like to try to use custom content to create an evocative mood, because the whole look of flying over the clouds adds a dimension of originality, I think, or that was my intent anyway, to try to do that to the module, and it's gotten some good feedback.
Yeah, it sounds like you've put a lot into it. No wonder that it's won the Golden Dragon Award.
Well, thank you very much. I very much appreciate that. And all of the good. I've gotten some very gratifying feedback on the work, and I just want to thank everybody who's not only the members of the Academy who voted for it, but the members of the community who voted for me in the Module of the Year contest, and just everybody who sent me written feedback on the story and on the module experience and how much they've liked it. That's the best part of building a module, is just getting that feedback.
Cool. Any last comments there that you would want to let all the listeners know about?
I guess nothing specific, except to anyone who's been wondering about the fact that the second chapter is almost a year old now, and wondering, gee, when are you going to continue this? That I'm committed to continuing the saga, and to
he's got to get his degree first.
Yeah, I'm right now. I'm fitting a whole bunch of things into a limited number of hours in the day. But I will finish it, and I'm definitely committed to continuing to work on it, because I really love the story, and I'm just having a ball creating it.
Well, once again, congratulations on your win, Tony. Is there anybody else you wanted to thank at the AME for the award?
Everyone. I just want to thank everyone at the AME for nominating me, for voting for me, and just for the fact that they just felt that the module was strong enough as a role playing experience to deserve that kind of recognition. There are a lot of really good modules in the AME review process. Ones that were nominated, even a lot of really good ones that were nominated but didn't make it to the finals. Given the company that I'm in, that's a tremendous compliment, and I would want to thank everybody, for that. And I particularly want to thank all of my fans. I've gotten a lot of feedback, especially in the last 6 months, from players who've been playing the modules, sending me messages. I've found that if I ask for playtesters, a number of people are eager to help me beta test the upgrades to the modules that I've built, in spite of the fact that they've already played the modules twice or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that's really gratifying, that people seem to like them enough to want to keep not only playing them but help me test them when I improve them.
That's cool. Well, congratulations again, Tony, and I appreciate you taking some time on your Saturday to sit down with us and share with us, kind of what you go through in your world and how you created an excellent module that won an award. So,
thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was good to be here.
And we're back.
And stop it. And we're back.
Whose lap is that? So the Sasquatch apparently is a female. She seems quite enamored with you there, Skunk.
She don't love me. She just loves my skunky style. Stop
Woot.
It.
Woot. I think she... What is she picking out of your head?
Nothing.
You know, they sadly, make homes for that.
Stop it. Sadly, the whole podcast... Ouch. Sadly, the whole podcast team missed this year's Gen Con at Indy 2008 in the United States. Lisa and AstroCon are trying to make it a goal starting right now to make it a point to try to get to the next one for 2009.
Yeah,
you think
that'd
you would
be cool.
Be willing to go, Dave?
Oh, I'd love to go. Hey, and maybe get like a week off with the kids. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Same here.
Which actually, I'd probably get 2 weeks off because I'd have to ride my bike.
You would ride your bike there?
Well, if I could get the time off, you bet. I'd crawl, dude. Not all of us have a Bigfoot to carry us.
Yeah. Okay, listeners, you can help us out here. Hit the donate button. Help us achieve this goal for 2009, please. Beyond the Pale at the Neverwinter Nights Vault is requesting that folks that attended the Gen Con to feel free to send some pictures. Some cool news from Gen Con, thanks to Chavine, no relation to myself.
Chavine?
Yeah, Chavine. He got to hang out at the Obsidian booth.
Oh, cool.
Promotion of Storms as a Hero at Gen
Con.
As
Skunk would say, wicked.
Wicked. Yep. And he says, as we suspected, new races, a great orc, gray orc.
A great gray orc?
No, a gray orc.
What color is it?
It's gray. And we have a Yonti pure blood.
Sweet.
Yep. I'm eager to play the social servers when that releases. And
they don't have anything for feet.
For feet? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe roleplay painting nail toes and stuff, you know. New classes. Says, as we suspected, a Hellfire Warlock. A prestige class for warlocks. How many levels of warlock is there?
462.
Oh, okay. And there's going to be a Doom Guide, a prestige class for divine classes. Doom Guide.
And they've got a swashbuckler, right? And that's supposed to be coming out. So are they going to have lots of, like, boats and stuff?
I don't know. I did see a thing in the forum where people were asking about that with the overland map view. You know?
That'd be cool.
And
boats and stuff.
People were asking about it, and they were asking about the sailing. And I could have swore somebody with an Obsidian tag on their, you know, forum their name handle said, no, there's not going to be sailing with the overland map. But, you know.
Maybe next time.
What's the swashbuckler going to buckle?
Swashes.
Yeah.
Sasquatch.
It's just going to... It's just going to be piers and ports. Well, if anybody out there has an amazing sailing system going on, please let us know. We would love to come see it. If anybody could end up thinking of one more impressive or greater, or even if it includes custom content, we'd be eager to see it. I definitely would.
Yeah, this is, of course, coming on the heels of Skunk and I just talked for like 10 minutes about swashbucklers being able to... and being able to move boats around, and that's all cut because we won't have time to share that with you.
Yeah, all right. Well, another thing is that all this stuff about the storms as they hear stuff that we're saying right now, because the game's still in development. Right. You know, this is not all final, let's say.
Oh, yeah, right. That part, the party creation stuff they're talking about. That looks cool.
Yes, it is. And, folks, here's some pictures that you're going to see on our show notes, thanks to Chavin.
Yeah. So that party creation stuff, I guess now instead of it's different than Companions, because, well, there you can actually, well, how is it different than Companions?
Well, looking at these pictures, it looks like you could, okay, there's a party chat, and it looks like you could switch between which NPC or the henchman or person in your party you want to end up doing the conversations.
Right, right. So you don't have to, if I clicked on it with my dumb fighter, it doesn't, I don't have to go through the whole conversation with him. I can also, my wizard can speak up and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then, it looks, okay, I remember them saying that they were going back to their roots with the whole franchise of these Forgotten Realms games, and it looks like they're really doing so.
That's really cool. If you click on a conversation, anybody in your party can talk. You don't have to possess, you know, the person you want to talk, do the talking. You can just click on the guy you want to talk to, and anybody in your party can answer at any given time.
And so that's my assumption, too.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I think that
don't know until we see it.
I think I saw somebody with an official tag saying that that's what it was, and then they said, yeah, you have to get, if you're not getting it, you'll like it. Don't worry when you see it. So until next time,
get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
She's getting a little too friendly with me down here. I think me and Bigfoot are gonna go to the woods. Come on, baby. Ha ha ha!